is Alan C. Gardner from Bad Bad Man, and you're listening to Extra Features.
Welcome back to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast, the movie review show where we review pretty much everything because Simon makes us.
I do. Yeah. And just so our audience knows, we are working diligently on finding episodes that I haven't heard in 13 years and getting them on the website. I'm doing the best I can. I have to find, if nobody can believe me, when we first started the show, I used to save them on CDs. I didn't even have a stick to put them on. So wow. I'm missing about 5 right now, and hopefully the next few months they'll turn up and you guys can have them all. But we're working on it. I promise. Thank you for downloading and being patient with us.
Well, there have been lots of changes going on. We've got a new website design.
And Doug's got no hair. I mean, that's a big change for me and no beard. Yeah. He's just confusing me. I don't know who this guy is. Like, it's like Doug's brother.
He has a very spaceman-like look with the lights coming from different sources. And it's like he's in the capsule and he's
I'm in a new location today. I'm in my attic, so.
Ooh, your attic with all the closets. Maybe you have my CDs in there I can't find.
Maybe.
Did you ship them across the border?
Yeah, it's fine. I don't have to get COVID if I ship things. Doug doesn't leave his house. He's perfectly safe. I'd go quarantine Doug's house. I trust him so much.
Fair.
That would be my bedroom right there in the attic. I've already been told, so.
He's right next to the boxes. So this is episode 253, if I recall.
It is.
Yeah, amazing.
I'm Simon, and Kevin is still here from episode 1.
Still here, yeah. Although I haven't done every episode.
Nope.
I'm Daniel, and I thought you would have saved them on floppy disk, Simon. You guys have been doing this for so long.
No, CDs. I remember making them. I found two of them today.
3.5-inch plastic discs.
Hey, good news. I found two today, so there's only like 4 more I need to find.
Okay.
Nice.
And I'm Doug, and I have no hair anymore, so.
Yeah.
You traded it for that Exorcist shirt, eh?
Yes.
I would have done the same thing. Like, I'll trade whatever I have left for that Exorcist shirt.
Oh, it's one of my all-time favorite movie posters. So,
yeah. See, I don't know if I'd trade my hair for a shirt. Maybe in 10 years.
Well, I'm just hoping with that, maybe Extra Features, with everything going on in the States and they're setting up safe voting sites, we should set up one up here in Canada. So, you know, those people from Buffalo and can come up here and vote and maybe get a free copy of our CD from, you know, episodes 1 to 13. They're on that disc. We could just hand them out.
Nice.
And maybe give them a Tim Hortons double-double at the same time.
Canadian touch.
So, but they might go unhinged, you know? Double-double might just throw them off.
Perhaps. Unhinged, starring Russell Crowe, Karen Pistorius, Jimmy Simpson, and Gabriel Bateman. I'm going to mute because I haven't seen this, but this is the first theatrical release in how long?
5 months. Okay, I think it's just me and Doug on this one.
Yeah, unfortunately the I couldn't make it to the movie theater in time.
Hey, man, it's tough to get out there now. Oh, I'll start here. Doug, this is bad. Bad filmmaking.
It was awful. It was generic is the word I would use.
Oh, it's my favorite kind of film when the cops are nowhere to be found. So I didn't know you could drive down the street doing 120 clicks, shoot people, bang into their cars, go into random people's homes, kill them, and no cops show up.
Yeah, the movie made no sense. I saw Russell Crowe out there promoting the movie to the best of his ability. He wanted this to be the savior of cinemas. It's just not. It's just a generic thriller that really goes nowhere. It sets things up that I thought would come back in the end, but didn't at all. The mother talking with her son about his Fortnite strategy. I thought that would come back in the end. It did not at all.
And he randomly knows that's her brother? Like, he knows her last name?
Yeah, there was something about he had her phone or he taped her iPad under her seat. Like, so
when did he have
he
this
could
time?
Track her. I don't get it.
When did he have time to do all this? And, like, that means he has to be prepared to do this.
Yeah, it made no sense. It was just bad, from top to bottom, bad.
Like, my argument is, if I'm going to get somebody, I probably should be more upset with them than honking their horn at me.
Well, they tried to set up that he was unstable, that he was on medication for that, but I don't know. It just didn't pay off. It wasn't good. I didn't like this movie at all.
I mean, he gets shot 3 times and keeps walking?
Yeah. Apparently. He's Maximus, the gladiator.
He's just good to go. I'm watching this going, this is a problem with getting a big star for a crappy film. Like the Halle Berry kidnap film. It's the same film.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they drive around. She does stop for gas. I'm going to give them full credit because they did stop for gas for once. But is that what he got into her car? I'm like, she didn't notice his truck in the park. I just have so many issues with this piece of junk. Other than Russell Crowe is like one step away from VOD now. Does he know this?
Yes, which is why he's trying so hard to push this film.
Yeah, well, VOD's his next stop. Like him and Bruce Willis have been doing a team up for $250 a shot.
Yes.
And might as well have Steven Seagal there. We have a big movie.
Let's cut Russell Crowe some slack. He's actually a good actor.
He's an excellent actor, but awful. What's he doing this junk for?
Paychecks?
I guess.
Someone's got to pay for those lunches he's clearly eating.
Oh, man, he is getting big.
Yeah.
Oh, well, moving along. Maybe he's eating a lot of American pickles.
In that, did he get in there any different pickle juice?
Maybe.
Starring Seth Rogen twice.
Simon, you need to stop your brining.
Sarah Smith and Molly Evanson.
Hey, I'm in a different room in my house. Strange things happen.
Stranger things.
Yes.
So who wants to start?
Oh, can I start? Because I really hate this piece of junk.
By all means.
Sure.
I don't like Seth Rogen. I think we know I don't like Seth Rogen. I try hard to like Seth Rogen. I thought this premise was dumb as shit. That's the easiest way I can explain it. It was dumb. Grandpa comes and it's just not funny ever. I didn't find any joke funny. I thought it was.
What's the movie about?
The movie's about the guy, his grandfather, hitting a vac of pickles, getting stuck in it for 100 years, and hanging out with Doug. That looks like Doug, and acts like Doug, and makes no jokes like Doug. That's really it. He meets his grandson, they hang out, they have different ideals.
And maybe that's why I like Seth Rogen so much.
Yeah, maybe. But it's boring as crap. There's no jokes in this film. Nothing I thought was funny. That graveyard scene, the guy gets arrested when Seth Rogen gets arrested because the other Seth Rogen's an idiot, was so dumb. I'm like, really? That's the crux of the film? So you lose your app on human ethics? You spent 4 years on this? You're an idiot. Get a real job. I thought the pickle thing was, the pickle thing was kind of fun. He's taking them out of the garbage. I thought that was kind of amusing. Then these hipsters tell him to get an intern. Oh, I got to get an intern. I'm like, oh, there's 20 minutes of boredom.
He didn't get Bob, though.
Pardon?
Sorry, he didn't get Bob, though.
No, he can't have Bob. He's our intern. So I just thought this film was meh. I didn't find anything interesting. Nothing. At all. The end was dumb. Them trying to escape to Canada was supposed to be funny. That was terrible. The cold court thing, they couldn't figure out one guy was different than the other. I'm done. Piece of junk. Next. Gentlemen.
The lawyer being like, oh, Charles Manson had a beard, but this Charles Manson didn't have a beard. Otherwise, it was... Yeah, comics are supposed to be funny, and I was pretty stone-faced the whole film. I thought Seth Rogen was fine. playing the two roles with the accent. I like Seth Rogen. I didn't love him here, but I mean, I thought his performance was fine. It would just be nice if it was funny. Just strange story of them getting at odds and then him going on his own to try to build a pickle empire, even though he'd been brined by a pickle for 100 years. Pickle juice, I mean. And then, trying to be organic and then... And it had a Borat feel. I feel like it had a Borat feel, but it's like Seth Rogen's Borat, but it's like more like Bruno because it was bad. And yeah, I didn't think much of it.
So I think I may disagree with you guys a little bit because I didn't see this as a comedy.
Oh, that was my mistake. It wasn't a comedy.
I didn't look at it. I mean, I think it was comedic, like an absurd premise to unite generations, essentially, and make a statement about how morale and work ethic and things have changed. And I thought it actually ended up being a somewhat sweet story about two, like, very distant generations at odds with one another and learning from one another in the end and coming to terms with, you know, there's something that we've lost from the past where, you know, at the beginning the jokes were somewhat funny where they were talking about the very simple desires that a married couple would have. You know, like someone wants a door, you know, or something like that. Like as simple as that. Like a horse and a cart would be a big deal.
Seltzer.
And to not die. Yes, seltzer. Things like that. Little things that we take for granted that would be impressive to someone who lived 100 years ago. So I like that a bit. And I think that his great-great-grandson was a bit of a doorknob.
Yeah,
you know, with his app, and he had no drive and no energy, no any interest. And I think he had to walk in his great, like in his basically in his ancestors' shoes by going back to the old country. That was the whole point of the deportation and stuff, so that he could live in his grandfather's shoes. So I think there was a kind of a sweet message there that I didn't dislike. But I think it's meh for different reasons than you guys think. I think you were looking for a hilarious comedy, and I didn't see it like that. I thought it failed on that level. I thought it was just kind of a mildly sweet statement on the past and the future.
I don't know if I was expecting hilarity. I was just expecting to laugh. When it's billed as a comedy, I expect to...
I thought the whole building the pickle empire stuff was actually quite funny with all the interns and the health code violations and how he's succeeding where his great, you know, his grandson failed with social media and getting attention just by going into picking pickles, cucumbers out of the garbage and making pickles in the rain. He was suddenly sensation of crafting and going back to the roots and all these critics were talking about him on the internet and suddenly everybody wanted his pickles and I found that was kind of interesting. And the intern that betrays him in the end,
yeah,
you know, because his values and his statements were, you know, the 100 years ago people were much more racist and ignorant about saying things about other people than they are now. We're all very cautious about stuff. So just by say making stupid statements about other cultures, which would be standard for people from 100 years ago, he's suddenly lost. He's an outcast, and he has to be driven out of America as a racist jerk. Right? Cancel culture hit him hard.
I this wasn't my favorite Seth Rogen film, but I did definitely enjoy it. I liked the hipsters with their Yelp reviews helping to get his pickle empire off the ground. I liked the whole kind of political debate where he's asked, you know, what do you think about, I forget what it was, prayer in schools. And that's what sets everything off. I had a good time with it. It wasn't the best Seth Rogen movie, but I did enjoy it.
It's back to that same argument we have all the time about movies that debut on streaming platforms. They're not necessarily something you would pay to go see in a movie theater, but they're adequate for the platform. Like, they're good enough, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Simon's face there, the cringe.
Yeah, like, him being offensive, that's what made me think of Borat a bit. and just say, yeah, it didn't work for me.
Sorry, to build on your thing of these streaming platform movies, the only reason why we're watching these is because there's nothing else to do. Like, right. Literally, Doug cannot go to a movie theater right now. He can go to a drive-in, maybe. It was probably 4 hours from his house. But, you know, but that's the problem. I mean, I'm watching so much junk. Like, I used to go to this school. What a piece of junk that was. Nah, then I watched I Will Die Tomorrow. He's terrible.
She'll die tomorrow.
She will die tomorrow.
So,
well,
I'm wondering how things
work with the Oscars next year. Do you think I agree?
It still has to contend with Bad Boys for Life.
True, yeah.
And Practical Bad Jokers. Boys for Life stands.
That's pretty good.
And Practical Jokers, man. Joe, best actor.
Do they give awards? They don't do give awards for playing yourself, do they?
Of course they do. Is he the best actor? I thought he did a great Joe impression.
Yeah.
Sal. Give it to Sal.
So, can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
Oh, sure. No, go ahead. You're still on Pickles, so I want to hear.
I was going to say, do you think American Pickle is worth a rental? I was going to try to segue.
Is it worth the rental? Okay.
You know what? I was happy it was part of a streaming service that I already had paid for. So I don't know if I would go out of my way to rent it.
No.
So, theaters opened. Did anybody go to the movies in the last week?
I was supposed to go, but I got sidetracked. Maybe this
time. I wanted to go for Unhinged, but I'm going to try to go for Tenet and New Mutants in the week. I don't want to go on the weekend yet.
I went and saw New Mutants. So I had my theatrical experience. So there were more people in the grocery store in the same building than there were in the movie theater.
Your theater's in a grocery store?
So I live, not that it matters to the audience, but I live near Yonge and Eglinton. There's a movie complex in a small mall. And so there's a metro in the lower level, and the theaters are on the upper levels. So.
Oh, okay.
So I went in, and the offices for Fan Expo where I work are in that same building. So I went to the office, walked by the metro. There were maybe 40 or 50 people in the metro, and there were 10 people in the New Mutants screening with me.
I just want to say, Kevin, the last time I was in that theater, we saw the new release of Shaft with Christian Bale as the villain.
Wow. That was 20 years ago.
That's the last time I was in that theater.
Yeah. Well,
I feel like that's the last time you were in any theater.
No, but New Mutants was the number one movie.
That's really nice to hear.
Yeah.
You know what? I've been back in New Mutants since it got the first time, so that makes me feel good.
Well, I look forward to discussing it in a future episode.
Yes. Doug, did you want to sit out that transition again?
Oh, sure. So do you think the American Pickle was worth the rental?
The rental, directed by Dave Franco, starring Dan Stevens, Allison Brie, Sheila Band, and Jeremy Allen White. Oh, and Toby Huss.
Yeah, Toby Huss, the great Toby Huss. No idea.
I'm so clueless. I completely missed the transition last time.
I did. It was funny. Dan, we were out.
Sure. I love horror. I like James Franco, but I think I like James Franco better as an actor than a director, except for Disaster Artist. But I think Dave Franco has got his same pretentiousness. This is co-written by Joe Swanberg, so it's very much in the mumblecore genre. So it's just naturalistic acting, naturalistic dialogue. Didn't really care for the characters. Some moments were really creepy, like near the end when we see the guy coming out, and it's like, uh-oh, and then he just stops following them. That was creepy. But it's boring for a lot of it. It's slowly paced, and then by the end of it, it's kind of like, all right, what's the point? Like, and, I don't know. It was fine. I just didn't care much for it on this one either. That's my 32nd with you.
Douglas.
I agree. I gave this movie far more thought than I thought I ever would, and I hate Dave Franco for that. Basically, him and his wife, Alison Brie, have said they're going to collaborate on a heightened romantic comedy together, just like they did a heightened thriller with The Rental. I didn't feel it was heightened at all. I thought it was very slow, very, very generic again, just like Unhinged. There was nothing really to excite me about this movie. I'm a big fan of Alison Brie. She was okay in this movie. I will note my wife hated her haircut. She thought the haircut was awful. They tried to frump her up a bit to make her not, you know, the young, hot wife. She was more the, I'm going to bed early so we could hike tomorrow. Dan Stevens is another actor I generally like. I didn't care for him in this movie. I don't know, there just wasn't anything to really recommend about this movie for me.
Come on, recommend. It's a good student film. Good first shot, I thought. It reminded me a lot of the indies I watch, you know, like that stuff I hate, Desperados, and I Went to School Here, She Will Die Tomorrow. It's got that feel. It's been dumped on the streaming platform. People can watch it because you have nothing else to do. I don't think it's thought selection with anything exciting. That was something I was looking for. I thought it was shot very basic, like in the mumblecore style that I know referred to, and I absolutely agree with that. This felt like a really basic indie that really had no ending. Like, it really didn't explain anything. I mean, him sleeping with his brother's wife, it made no sense to me. There was no reason for that. You know, even though they tried to slip it in there that he had done this before, and so he's done it again, I'm like, I don't care. That didn't help me on the plot at all. Just you guys were trying to give it a reason. Well, the reason shouldn't have existed. The film should have been about the camera and maybe a dark sour, maybe a stupid killer comes out. Like, give me more. And why is the chick down looking at a waterfall and finds his camera, his wife, and so she knows about the affair? I was like, what? Made no sense. Nobody's going to wander around looking for a camera underneath a house and find some weird cave with a television screen. Like, they didn't see the cables ever? Like, this sounds like, oh, he went for a hike because he didn't notice this? I just find this is a lot of, I have to assume things. And then the end of the film, I was like, oh, so it wasn't the guy they thought did it. It was somebody else. Oh, okay. Like, I really thought that should have been the main point from the beginning, that it probably wasn't the guy renting the place. They just didn't like him, so they assumed it was him. But they never really did anything. They're like, oh, we got to take him out. And I'm like, really? You don't phone the cops? Well, we can't phone the cops. Like, they always seem to have an excuse for not doing what they should have been doing. And maybe that's the point of film sometimes, but this wasn't interesting to me. Like, this just seemed like a really basic indie that has actors in it, you know, so it gets on a streaming service. So, no, this is not worth a rental either. But get American Pickle if you have to choose between the two.
Oh,
my hand, I ran
off. I picked
that one.
And I didn't see this, so...
B-killer, so they're going to call the cops, but he chokes out the landlord.
Yeah,
so the rent landlord's just... Red herring.
Yeah, made no sense of that. Yeah.
I saw an article that's why I thought, okay, Dave Franco's pretentious as a director like his brother, because he's like, oh, we're going to shoot this as a drama. It's like, no, this is just like you say, it's basic shots.
They did shoot it as a drama. It's a total drama. 100%. American Pickle's a drama, too, pretending it's a comedy. This is a drama, pretending it's a horror. Both are bad. Maybe we should have the American Pickle people get a rental with the camera and have a part two. That would work.
Maybe throw in some Project Power.
Maybe, or I know you did last summer. I mean, this looks like the same location, just the one location of it.
Sure.
Well, I got to say.
Netflix?
Sure.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, aren't we going to up and away, but we're not going that way?
We could go up and away and then do Project Power.
Whatever you want. It's your show.
What? I'm the captain now. Superman Man of Tomorrow, starring Darren Criss, Zachary Quinto, Ike Amandi, Alexandra Daddario, Kevin Love.
Thanks. Kevin's favorite. She's in another movie.
Alexandra Daddario is Lois Lane.
Maybe that's why she drew
it. I don't know if there's any other big cast members.
Don't worry about the other. Okay. Kevin, go ahead. This is your field.
Yeah. All right. DC animated movies. They're going to start up a new series of interconnected DC superhero movies, basically starting at the beginning of the careers of characters like Superman and Batman. And so this is our Superman entry. And the style is very different from the previous versions, which were all sort of in tune with that whole Young Justice style of animation that the new 52 movies all kind of adopted. So I was thinking of what, like, the style reminded me of Archer in a lot of cases, sort of clear, simple figures with very thick outlines around them. And so I kept expecting Sterling Archer to show up, or his mother, or some of those characters. Just in the same way, there's another animated movie that came out recently about Deathstroke, and it actually looks a lot like the Venture Brothers in the style of the way it was done. But this one, I must say, it's pretty underwhelming. It's about last of their kind aliens, in a sense. So you've got Kal-El of Krypton, you've got John Jones, the Martian Manhunter, and you have Lobo, who's the last Zarnian because he killed his entire race. Wait, so
Lobo killed his whole race?
Yeah, that's the story of Lobo. Did
I have
you
no
ever
idea.
Read Lobo?
No.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Lobo, for some reason, killed all of the other Zarnians.
Well, maybe he wanted some Diet Coke and they wouldn't give it to him.
Maybe. But I actually found Lobo's presence here in this movie off-putting, because I don't know why you'd try to shoehorn such a modern character into a classic origin story like this, even though Lobo is probably like 30 years old at this point himself. I didn't like the character in this movie. I didn't like Lex Luthor. I didn't like Lois Lane. Clark Kent was a bit of a dweeb, but that's his job. I guess he's always got to be a dweeb, but in this case, he was particularly douchey as the coffee boy. I found this suffered from DC, how can we make this adult-isms? Like, here's a basic story with Superman. There's a lot of action. This could have been much more family-friendly than what it was. Instead, we had to drop in as much shits and other bits of swearing into the film as we could possibly could. In the end, I kind of came around and thought the film was okay, but I really didn't love it.
Wow.
I found it too off-putting.
I have to completely disagree with half of what you said.
Okay.
I enjoyed this. Mm. Like, I liked the Lobo connection. I enjoyed the fight scenes with Lobo. I liked the animation. I hated Lois Lane's haircut. It was one of my biggest issues with the look of Lois Lane. I absolutely thought it was the most pleasant Superman direct video thing I've seen in ages. I absolutely enjoyed it. I didn't want it to end. I thought it had a nice running time. I liked Martian Manhunter.
I don't understand why the parasite turns into Godzilla.
Well, that's the one part I had an issue. I do agree with you on that one, because that didn't make any sense to me. But didn't he draw too much power? Isn't that why he got so much bigger?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like this film. I like the Pa and Ma Kent. I thought they did a great job. I liked how she discussed how they made the costume. It took them 15 bandsaws or something to do it. I just think it's a wonderful film. I really enjoy it. I understand it's a little weird, the continuity, having Lobo in there, but I like Lobo. I like the way he comes up with his bike. I like the way he kicked everybody's ass. I like the way he gave Lois Lane crap. I like the jokes that Clark was playing on Lois Lane. I think this is really good. Doug?
I'm just so over Superman origin stories. I don't need another Superman origin movie. So I guess that's why they threw Lobo in, to try to update it for people who have seen the Superman origin story so many times. They tried to throw in something new. I don't know. You mentioned them updating characters. It was Perry White to me who stood out. I didn't like the new Perry White here. He just seemed very abrasive, and that's not the Perry White that I grew up with.
He seemed more like J. Jonah Jameson than Perry White.
Yes.
Perry White was never that. I mean, there's a little bit of that in the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, where he's kind of the grumpy editor, but he's the grumpy editor with heart.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's just a jerk. But I had the same problem with Fishburne's character in Man of Steel and Batman vs. Okay. Superman. He's too much of a jerk. And he doesn't really... There's a little bit of caring for some of the employees, but he's not really that likable anyway. So, anything else to add on this one?
I say get rent it. I will give it a rental.
Not rent.
Okay, I'm leaving, right?
Dave Franco, thanks you.
Yeah.
So, I guess you would say that Parasite had a lot of power. Maybe project somewhere.
Can you start the transition over? I don't think I was recording in time.
No, oh, fuck. Can I do that over again? Such a pain in the ass.
Take two.
We're off to hit the Netflix music, Simon. I will.
If you're busy like me, going to the video store is a hassle. With Netflix, just make a list of the movies you want to see.
Bring the Project Power, starring Jamie Foxx, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Dominique Fishback, Rodrigo Santoro, Courtney B. Vance, and Machine Gun Kelly.
So, who's up? Daniel.
Again? Okay. I wanted more from this. I feel like I felt the same way you did, Simon, as you're disappointed by the old guard. But I thought it was interesting how the superpowers were inspired by animals, but they don't have a flying person. Last time I checked, a bird is an animal. I thought the powers were kind of boring, even when they had really cool powers, like the guy with the broken bones coming out of his arm and stuff, like a kind of Wolverine type. That was cool. But then the fight was kind of underwhelming to me, and the same thing with the Hulk, the biggie. And then it's like the power is cool when you first see it, and then the scene is just kind of over. And then I think Jamie Foxx is the only character I cared about here, at least emotionally connected to. Dominique Fishback's the rapping was cool, and it was cool seeing Joseph Gordon-Levitt in a big movie again, but just kind of meh. And I just thought I could have been way better.
Wow, I think we're going to disagree on this one. This was the most pleasant Netflix experience I've had in months. I felt there was no detective work done by Joseph Gordon-Levitt at all. Zero. I don't know how that one got anywhere. Same with Jamie Foxx. Here you go, just sort of shows up. Oh, okay. I thought the fight scenes were great. I enjoyed them all. I really liked it. Dominic Fishback was phenomenal. Absolutely looking forward to seeing more from her. I thought she was a highlight of the film. I liked the whole process at 5 seconds. You don't know what's going to happen. I thought that was great. I really liked it. I thought the film moved at a nice pace. I really liked the look of the film. I thought it had a nice look. I liked the beginning scene when they're jumping through the house, when Fox is chasing the guy, and he's going through the apartment building. I thought that was great. I've never seen that before. It's something different. I just think this film forgets its plot. It forgets to give us what we're looking for, like some actual detective work. Explain a little bit more to us. Other than we know bad guy delivering drugs wants to be worldwide. Got it. I think we get that in the first 5 minutes of the film, but they give it to us again and again. We don't need that. We need to know why they're doing it, what they're going to. So I think there should be a part two here to maybe get one more in depth in it. But I definitely liked the film. I thought it looked beautiful, the CGI, even off the beginning of the bank robbery. I thought that great. I liked the opening scene. I thought it was phenomenal. I quite enjoyed that. I hadn't seen that done before. The guy's blending in the background.
That's cool.
I thought that was kind of cool. So I'm going to give this film a total watchability. So next.
Yeah, I agree with you, Simon. I enjoyed it. I thought it was clever that even though different people took the drugs, once you took it and got the power, my reading was you got the same power every time you took
it. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really clever twist. It wasn't just like, oh, one time I'm fire, one time I'm ice. It was you got what you got, and that was it. And they kept saying you never know what's going to happen. Some people die instantly. I like that we saw that.
Yeah.
That was very interesting to me, just watching that one dude load.
Well, we didn't know who he was. We took the pill, but he's done. I think that was foreshadowed.
Yeah.
One of the henchmen, yes. Right, when he swallows it?
Yes, you knew he was gone.
It was fun. I had a good time. I had a good time with this. I agree with Simon. I would definitely recommend this.
So I actually thought it started off fairly well.
Yeah.
And I did like the sequence where he was fighting the guy who was on fire.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Like an extended fight with the Human Torch in a building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was well done. And it would be nice to see Marvel will have to look at it and say, shoot, now we have to rethink our way we're going to do fire effects now. But I thought that it was convenient that our heroes all got great powers that were beneficial to them.
Wow.
So I thought that was convenient. While the villains all ended up with powers that were debilitating or in some cases blew them up on the spot, like the one guy who explodes.
We need them for the sequel, Kevin.
I really wasn't overwhelmed by this movie. I thought it started off, again, I thought it started off well. I liked Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He had something to prove. Doesn't he exhibit two different power sets, though, during the film?
I thought he just had the one, the bullet stopping.
Yeah, he's just super strong and bulletproof, right?
Okay,
yeah,
but
yeah, just bulletproof.
It's something to do with time, though, doesn't it?
I must have missed that.
And during the bank robbery?
Oh, no, he sets his clock because the bill only lasts, what, 15 or 5 minutes?
Okay, maybe five that's minutes. Something I missed there. I guess I that was somewhat confusing. And I didn't care for Jamie Foxx's power towards the end of the movie, where he just, I don't even know what he did. He just exuded energy or something.
Thomas Bond, kind of.
Yeah.
He turned the water to plasma.
He killed everybody except the good people.
Is that what he did?
So maybe the second film might be better. But kind of like Old Guard, I was like, nah, it's okay. It's Netflix good.
Yeah, I agree. Like, but I do
like it. Like, I would have been felt gypped if I went to see it in a movie theater.
Oh, you would have been.
I would have felt that this was just another shitty, over-the-top action movie. But for a Netflix movie, it was okay.
I agree.
I love Old Guard. I thought this was a 5 out of 10. I'm a big fan of high concepts, and I thought that the way that they used it with the drug deals and that, Limitless did it better.
Yes, Limitless is a phenomenal film, though.
And Old Guard is much better than this.
Well, my one big complaint about this movie was a complete waste of Courtney B. Vance.
For sure.
Well, you didn't like it. He gave Gordon the picture of Jamie Foxx under his hat.
Yeah, he was in two scenes. They couldn't use him for anything else.
They did. They took the photo under his hat. He was saving that for months.
It's like, oh, you have bad ethics? Give me your badge, sir. Give me your gun and your badge. I'm not going to let you kill yourself, even though you're bulletproof.
He kind of just dropped in from that other Netflix movie that he was in with his son, who was the bartender.
The smaller one?
Yes.
But Courtney knows where he needs to be right now, on Netflix, making some cash.
Yeah.
More power to
him. Maybe he's going to take time travel to the vault.
Excellent.
If we were in that way, that if we were done the trade. So the discussion for that one. Every sermon doesn't take the first one, and then going to the new one?
Yes.
Okay. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Sorry, Keanu Reeves, Alex Winter, George Carlin, Hal Langdon Jr., Dan Shore, and Amy Scott Stoke. I don't even know.
I think that's Missy.
Yes.
Okay. I can remember seeing this film in theater since Kevin wants to go back. Remember the Highland, Kevin, at Yonge St. Clair? This is where I saw this with my dad, my girlfriend, and my best friend at the time. We all went to see this. Mm-hmm. I still love this film. I have so much fun watching it. It's a nostalgia thing for me. I still want to kick Napoleon in the balls. He's the biggest dick in this movie. But I love this film. I have so much fun watching it. It is so pointless at times, I just don't care. Because I love that mall scene. I'm just waiting for them to get to the mall and do Ziggy Biggy. Those are my two favorite scenes. And just so anybody knows, Ziggy Piggy are the writers of the film.
Okay.
They're in Ziggy Piggy. That's them. The guys that sing the song.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the ones that bring the ice cream?
Yes, those are the writers of the film.
Writers of all the films.
Of all the films. All three of them are the same guys. And I'll tell you, I don't know where they are in three, but I know where they are in two.
Know where they are in three.
Oh, there you go. Doug will tell me I missed them. I think this is just a fun film. I think Napoleon steals the film. He tries to hit on Missy. He's just a dick to everybody in the film.
The water park.
The water park is phenomenal. He throws the kid out of the way. Makes me laugh. I could use another half an hour, but it probably would ruin the film. I think they keep it a short hour and a half. It worked because of that. And it's just fun. I mean, even though they have the best lighting I've ever seen for a history project in my life.
Get the lasers out.
Get the lasers out. I just think this film is totally rewatchable. And I hope to sit there with my kids one day and watch it again.
Yeah, actually, I watched this for the first time like 4 years ago. I actually liked it better on this viewing. I love the kind of like Mr. Peabody Sherman kind of plot, just going through time, getting the history figures. And it kind of makes history fun, too. And then the babes from medieval times. I love Keanu Reeves. Just the air guitar they do. And then he's like, oh, your stepmom is gonna bang your stepmom in the room, and then he's like, shut up, Doug, shut up, Bill, and then he does this smile like, hey. I think that's really funny.
Bill's room, man. He's banging her in his son's room.
Which one's which? Ted is Bill is Alex Winter, and Ted is Keanu.
Correct.
Okay. And then I just have an Oedipal complex when Freud asks him if he wants to. I don't know. I love this movie. It's very funny. That's my rambling review.
I revisited it yesterday, and it still holds up very well for what it is. It's just a goofy, fun comedy with two characters that would, you know, in other comedies they would be the side comic relief. Instead, they're the stars. And they're just unabashedly innocent. And everything that they do, they're just like, whoa, let's do this. All right. And the clever way of defeating the enemy using time, it's like, and when they're all locked up in the jail and they're like, well, you know, like, let's, after this is all done, we'll travel to the future and we'll leave your dad's keys right here.
I guess well, I
there they are.
My dad's keys.
You know, and then it's very clever, and that comes in handy in the next one. But just fun.
Hey, it was Missy's in on the plot because they tell her to meet her around back at the cop station. Missy, meet us around back.
Yeah.
With Napoleon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely a movie that holds up well. I actually watched it with my kids a couple years ago, and they liked it just as much as I did when I was, well, I guess I saw it when I was a little older than them, but they loved it. It's a fun movie that holds up for everybody. Anybody in the family can watch it.
True.
Cool.
I mean, there's a little bit of a like dated language with like the gay slur, the F word, but even then, that scene, I don't like that word, but right after when they just smile at each other, it made me laugh.
Yeah, that struck me as out of place in today's, like, you wouldn't go call each other fags, basically.
as a slur, as an insult. So,
yeah, true. But are we going to get Bogus?
Excellent.
On the Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, starring Keanu Reeves, Alan Splinter, William Sadler, Hal Langdon Jr.
Rufus, George Carlin.
Oh, yes, sorry, George Carlin as well.
Who wants to go?
Somebody.
Who?
The woman's in charge of the radio.
Pam Grier.
Pam Grier, yeah.
Don't forget Pam Grier. She's pretty hot still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, doing her best Tina Turner.
Okay, I guess it's up to me. I didn't enjoy this as much. I thought the costuming looked terrible right at the beginning when Rufus is doing his class. I thought those were terrible costumes. I'm like, these are bad. And I remember not really liking this. And then, I mean, I like the scenes when they're in San Dimas. I did enjoy those. I like the beginning. And then once they die and go hang out with Death, I got bored at that point. I'm like, I don't...
Oh, really?
At this point, I didn't like... I thought parts of it were interesting. But then they start playing board games with Death. I remember that going, yeah, this is not for me. And then I didn't like when they went up to heaven, hung out with God. I got bored again. And then Station shows up. I'm like, this is not for me. But it gets saved in the last 20 minutes for me when they start doing the time travel thing and playing games with the guy and the guy that are playing the jokes on the guy doing the time travel. I love the last 20 minutes. So my problem for me, I just find the middle not for me. I love the robots. Any scenes with the killer robots, I loved. I thought were great. And, I mean, obviously it's different princesses. Sarah Triggers plays one of the princesses. She's from Singles. That's why I know her. So, I mean, of course, this becomes a vacation film, and they can just replace the princesses, and nobody cares. Now, this is not for me. I do like the jokes about the missing being with Ted's dad now. I thought that was a good joke when I first saw it, but it just falls flat in the middle for me.
I love the death scenes. Like, those are my favorite parts. Like, it's just so funny him being like, okay, 2 out of 3. and then at the one point when they're like, 4 out of 7, like, yeah, you bet your ass. And then I think the simplicity of it, the joke when the guy in heaven goes, don't I know you before? And then he puts the eye bitch on, like, no. and I just love William Sadler. I thought he did a great job as Death, and he steals the film for me. And I still enjoy the other scenes, like the ending. It's not as good as the first one, but I loved it because of Death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I this is my least favorite of the three, but I do love Death in this movie. I mean, the whole thing about reaping is hard. or cardio. It was something about cardio, like reaping is cardio.
Yes, he does say that.
Yeah, I didn't like the stuff with the killer robots. On the opposite assignment, I didn't like the killer robots, but I liked Death.
I love the killer robots. When they knock out the princesses with their bad breath.
Oh, yeah, the knock on Missy? Yeah.
I watched this yesterday, and it's been a while since I've seen it. And I had a general dislike of the film. I seem to remember not liking it, but I thought it was actually a lot of fun, and in fact, more fun than the first one.
Oh, disagree.
Because of that middle sequence, because Death is so good, and those sequences when they're playing the games, you sunk my battleship. You know, like it's just, I love that stuff. Playing Twister, and he got the clue thing wrong. You know, I thought that was inventive. I thought that was something you don't normally see. And it's Death right out of the Seventh Seal.
Okay. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So and no one has ever beaten me, and they just keep beating him. And he's like, "Let's do it again." And they're like, "Oh, come on, you're cheating!" And he's like, "No, no, I got to do it again." And I love the bit in heaven where they go and they knock people out and they take their clothing and they go in disguise to go see.
Yeah, right at the pearly gates, they take that guy out.
Yeah,
and then they laugh when he's in the go. Like, do I look okay? Like, yeah,
you look great. They're snickering at him. Station, I have problems with again. Station, the costume is so fake. It's so whatever. It's not even good Henson creature workshop stuff. It's just like bad costume, and then they merge together and they become a giant thing and all that stuff. But I did like the stupidity of the evil robots. They're evil robot Bills and Teds. They're exactly as dumb and clueless, but they're just evil. And I love that they went to the rock from the Gorn sequence in Star Trek to throw them off, to kill them, and how they possessed Ted's dad and another guy at the station.
That was quite funny.
And his dad pretending to be him was great.
Was so good.
Yeah. So I the twist of Missy moving from father to father, and then we'll see the third jump in the next one. But I thought this was very clever. And then at the end, you know, it's like they go off and they disappear for a while and come back and they've learned how to play their instruments, and now they know what they're doing, and they have little Bill and little Ted, who we learn later are actually not boys, they're girls, but I like that. I like that bit. And then the whole thing where the guy is trying to outsmart them with their time travel logic, and they're like, no, because we win and you lose, so we actually trick you into thinking that you won. And it was fun. The one thing I didn't notice, I watched an interview recently where there's a little bit of a collage of pictures at the end showing what happens to them after, and apparently that was not done with the consent of the writers of the film.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's stuff that happens in the pictures and magazine covers that didn't fit in with what they had planned for the third movie.
Did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
So there always was planned for a third movie?
Oh, yeah, but no one would give them authorization to make it until recently.
Oh, did not know that.
Until now.
Yeah.
And that leads us into the new film, which is in the vault, because it's
a trilogy. We'll leave the vault to do the new movie.
Okay, yes. We're jumping back out of the vault as Bill and Ted Face the Music, starring Keanu Reeves, Alex Winter, Kristen Shaw, Samara Reaving, Bridget Lundy Payne, William Sadler, Anthony Kerrigan, Aaron Hayes, Gina Mays, and Kid Cudi. And that guy from SNL who plays the Ted's brother. I don't remember what his name is. I don't care, to be honest.
So, oh, guys, I'll start again. I don't care, or you guys can. Again, the joke continues with Missy, who Missy's with. I thought that was great. I thought that worked. I thought the addition of the chick from Bob's Burgers, Kristen Schaal, was great. I couldn't believe what a good actress she was. I've never really seen her. I've only heard her in Bob's Burgers because my daughter watched it, and she loves it. So, like, oh, I know who
she is. She was in My Spy as well.
Oh, there you go. I think she's good. I think she's Rufus's
daughter. So.
I think she carries this film wonderfully. I think.
Oh, I don't think she carries the film at all. She's good, but she doesn't carry the film.
She's good, though. I like her. I like her in all
her scenes. Just a supporting character.
She's a strong supporting character. She has a lot of scenes for a supporting character.
She's not a main character.
No, she's not. Okay,
fine. I think.
I think she does a good job. I think
she's as helpful as Rufus was in the first two. He's sort of in and out at the end.
Oh, Rufus was important in the first one. He's the funniest thing. She's good in it. I like the daughters steal this film, I think, mostly. It's the daughters were phenomenal. Samara Weaving continually impresses me what a great actress she is. And is becoming, maybe. The other chick, I can't remember her name, was okay. But they do a great
something.
Bill and Ted impression.
Like you and I are completely not in sync this week.
Well, that's too bad. Suck it up.
Because Thea, is the girl that plays Ted's daughter, was perfect. She does a dead-on channeling of Keanu Reeves, the teenager. I thought she was great. I thought Samara Weaving just sort of was okay as Bill's daughter.
I like this film. I like the way it ends. I love how they figure it out, how to get it all to work. Complete thumbs up for me. Then I'm done. Go ahead, Kevin. Shut all over me.
No, that's shitty. Because you and I have been in so disharmony this episode. Yeah, we disagree on everything. But I will agree that this was a lot of fun and very much in the spirit of the originals. and was the perfect film for now, because it was just so charming and innocent and nice. It's, I think it's a great family film. A friend of mine was asking, is it okay for his kids to see it? I'm like, totally. I think you should show it to your kids. I think it's a lot of fun. I think it's got a hopeful message. And it's funny. I mean, I like that the princesses may divorce them. So there's this whole plot going on. But I think Keanu Reeves, I think Alex Winter is the star of this movie.
Yeah.
I thought he was great as Bill. And Keanu Reeves, we've grown to know him as John Wick and Neo from The Matrix. So he's no longer that idiot teen guy that, you know, was his image from the 90s. He used to be the whoa dude guy, right up to the Netflix, to The Matrix. But John Wick has kind of erased that. Now he's the Zen master. And he's just kind of okay in this movie, but he does what he needs to do.
I'll agree with you on that one.
I thought the daughter storyline was fantastic, recruiting the band. I thought the guy who played young Louis Armstrong was great. The guy who played Jimi Hendrix was fantastic. I love the Jimi Hendrix sequence with Mozart, where he's playing Mozart back to him on the guitar from the street. I thought that was really nice. And then they go to hell. I was laughing my ass off at Dennis Caleb McCoy, the robot.
Yes.
He says, my name is Dennis. Dennis Caleb McCoy, and I'm really sorry, and how can I make... I'm like, okay, and this is the guy that played Zaz on Goth for a while. He was like a psycho killer.
He was so good, that guy.
And he was on Barry as well. And he was great. He was just annoying because he just didn't know what he was doing. But it was like everything from the future is kind of like that. They're kind of like, they're just nice, hopeful people. So even their robots are, or their killer robots aren't very killer robot-y. No, I thought, you know, it's not long. And there are huge jumps of logic, and you could drive holes through some of the plots. But I love the fact that Death came back. I love that he was bitter over the way things broke up with the band. And, but I love that he was playing different games in case someone challenged him. Yeah. In case someone tried to challenge him in a hopscotch to go back to the league. I thought that was a lot of fun. And then of course the girls and, you know, how they need him. I thought it was great. And then I liked the little touches too, right? So in the one reality, Ted's father's police van ended up in hell. So they took the police van back up, and of course you go to hell by falling into the pit of hell. So as they're going up, people are hitting the van as they're falling into hell. I didn't notice that.
Oh, they are. It was a great touch. As it goes up,
and you hear the thuds, and they're like, "What's that?" And they're like, "Don't worry about it." Yeah, I thought it was fun. I mean, just, you know, that the princesses show up and help save the day, and somehow they give people musical instruments everywhere all at once, and the harmonic convergence of the planets goes through, and I love the whole, like, how are we going to get the song? Well, let's go steal it from ourselves. Well, it's stealing from ourselves, so who cares? I like that whole bit. And then you had the evil, bitter Bill and Ted from the future as they went further and further in, and I hope you guys stuck around to the very end after the credits.
I did.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a stinger there. I liked it. That's good.
Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it. I loved a lot of this. I love everything from hell on. I love. I love just seeing the death again. I thought the daughters did a great job just passing the torch to them, and how they encapsulated the energy of Bill and Ted. I love the future Bill and Ted, especially when they get their muscle heads in prison. That was funny.
Mm-hmm.
The suicidal robot. Every time he kills one, he's like, oops. Like, he kills the dad. That was great. But I couldn't help but, like, I liked it, but I didn't think it was as funny as the other two. And I'd say this one's my least favorite, and I wasn't laughing as much. I liked everything from Death On. I liked the message about music uniting the world, and I thought it was interesting finding their voice, just in the same way, terrible film, but Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, just how they're older now and they're trying to they're still slackers and they're trying to figure out their way as middle-aged people. I thought that was interesting. I like the story a lot. I didn't think it was consistently funny.
Sorry, before Doug goes, I'm cutting him off, I know. The writers in number two are at the seance at Missy's.
Okay.
And the writers in three are the two demons they ask for directions in hell.
They seem like nice guys.
Oh, is that okay. Now?
Yes.
Yeah. I like that part. I just thought that was a little nice little writing touch. Very nice writing touch.
Yeah, I actually got to say, I like the touch that they've been waiting their entire life to write the song that unites the world, and they just can't do it. And then they're basically told, you got 77 minutes to figure it out.
Yep.
And that's, and it's basically the runtime of the film.
Yep.
Yeah.
At that point. And that was really not just smart. I mean, how would you feel if you were given this momentous task of uniting the world and you have no idea what to do? And I love that they're just experimenting at the beginning at the wedding. They're experimenting with music. And they've got theremins and horns and all this different stuff. And very, very insightful. And then lots of little the digs, too, right? The father takes a dig about how the princesses are the only people with jobs in the family.
Yes, he does.
I felt personally attacked by that.
There were little things that, like, I'm taking Doug's time, I'm sorry, one last thing was that when they find the fan, everyone in hell, right, and the two girls are there, and the girls look up, and they don't go, Dad, they go, Dads.
Yes.
It's like, there's no, they're one entity, Bill and Ted, and their daughters are one entity, too, they've carried that over. And then they're like, how are you? No, really, how are you? Just little things like that. Well read.
I'll agree with just about everything everyone said. It's a great, fun family movie, and just that they are such a unit that when they had couples therapy, they're like, we love you. It was amazing. It was great.
I and Ted love you.
It was a great movie for this time in history. It is about bringing people together. It's about having fun and loving each other and being excellent.
Party on, Dubious.
Okay, Harper, go. Harper, we got two left. Go.
Paul Newman. We're going back into the vault. Paul Newman and Lauren Bacall, Julie Harris, Arthur Hill, Janet Leigh, and Robert Wright.
Okay,
young Robert Wagner.
Okay, go, Doug.
I love this movie. I'm a big fan of private investigator movies, and that's what this is. It was pretty much the first screenplay by, what's his name? William Goldman, who went on to win multiple Oscars for, like, Butch Cassidy and All the President's Men. And this movie was Paul Newman in all of his charm. I love this film. One thing I particularly like about it is Shelley Winters, actually. She was playing against type at that time. She had just come off winning an Oscar, and now she's playing the faded, overweight star who's no longer wanted by the public. And I love that. I love that she was willing to do that for this film.
I want to say thanks, Doug, for putting this on the list, because I really had no idea this film even existed. I love it's 1966, and it's the same year that Batman the movie came out. So it was just fun to see that kind of mid-60s world, and very L.A. at the time. So I thought Newman was great. Lauren Bacall is Lauren Bacall, very aloof, but not quite the elder stateswoman that we see in later films, and not quite the sort of the femme fatale of the noir films that she did. I thought it was great. I thought Robert Wagner was really fun as kind of a naive, you know, himbo that hangs around the house. And the daughter, who's the bit of the the sex bot that everybody lusts after, and including his friend, the Canadian Air Force guy who's the lawyer for the family. He was doing his isometric exercises from his days in the Canadian Air Forces. I liked it. I thought that a lot of TV, like a friend of mine was over at the time while I was watching it, and he kept saying, oh, that's the guy from Mission Impossible. That's the guy from this show. That's good. So a lot of TV bit players in different parts, heavies and so forth. But I like the music. I like the sets. I love the look of it. I even like the little bit, like he's at the pool and they're sitting there. She's dancing on the surf, on the diving board. He's lounging around. And he's like, oh, I see you got sandwiches here. Can I have a sandwich? Then he just starts, and she grabs one from him, and he just goes back and he takes a handful of sandwiches, and like, where, how else is he going to eat? The wasted bit, I think, was Janet Leigh as his soon-to-be divorced wife, although there is that nice sequence where he's hiding from the police officer in the bathroom, and he goes onto the payphone, and then he's like, they have a bit of a laugh over the fact he's hiding from the police in a bathroom on the phone. But, you know, carrying his little can of beer, which looks like a pop can and or soda can. And just the way things were back in the mid-60s, so different from the way things are now. But, that there would be a telephone in a diner that looked like it was made in, like, 1930. You know, in the mid-60s, there was such a transition. I remember as a kid in the early 70s, we go to places and you encounter things that had been around since the 40s and the 50s that hadn't been replaced. We've gradually all replaced all of that stuff as it's all rotted away and stuff. But there was still that sense of old world, new world in the mid-60s that, anyway, I'm getting nostalgic. So, but I liked it.
Okay, we still have one more film to go, so I'm going to go quick. Great shooting, great film. Please go see it. Last film, Daniel, hit it.
Sure. I Want to Live. Susan Hayward, Simon Oakland, Virginia.
I was
going to
miss it, didn't you, Doug? I only mean Doug see this. We're running short on time, so I'll go quick. I thought Susan Hayward did a fabulous job. I thought it was a very interesting film for its time period. I couldn't believe it was based on a true story. She got screwed. That's the easiest way I can describe from what I'm reading here. She got screwed on this deal. I think it was just one of those things that she got railroaded for some reason because somebody didn't like her. And that's really the way I took it from here. I think she got some bad advice. She should have purged herself right off the beginning. That screwed her over and just continued. I mean, she did want to live. I thought she was going to get off at the end. I really thought she was. That something was going to save her, and then she doesn't. So I was shocked by the ending of this film.
Actually, I read about the true story, and it sounds like the movie was a lot more lenient towards her than what happened in real life.
Oh, okay.
She probably was guilty as hell, but I love the movie that it starts off kind of like a film noir, and then once she's in prison, it's kind of documentary-like. Like, they go through exactly what's going to happen at the execution, and then it happens. And that was just, that kind of blew me away.
Yeah, I think it's really well done. I think people should see this film. You can see why she won an Oscar for it. Overall, I thought the film was very procedural at times, so I really think it's something you need to watch if you're into it. And we have less than a minute, so I guess we got to go. So see this film, and if they make it...
We all wear glasses.
We all wear glasses.
Good night, all.
To contact us, please email at extrafeatures@gmail.com and join us at our Facebook page.